Turn to the Gospel of Luke and read from chapter number 21, beginning with verse number 5. Luke 21, 5.
Brati, našao da se čita uz Božju pomoć iz Svetog Evanđelja po Luki, 21. glava od 5. stiha. 21. po Luci od 5. stiha i nadalje.
And as some spake of the temple, how it was adorned with goodly stones and gifts, he said, As for these things which ye behold, the days will come in the which there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And they asked him, saying, Master, but when shall these things be? And what sign will there be when these things shall come to pass? And he said, Take heed that ye be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near. Go ye not, therefore, after them. But when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. Then said he unto them, Nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines, and pestilence, and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven. But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you, and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues, and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it, therefore, in your hearts, not to meditate before what ye shall answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. And ye shall be betrayed by both parents and brethren and kinsfolk and friends. And some of you shall they cause to be put to death, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But there shall not an hair of your head perish. In your patience possess ye your souls. And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter thereinto. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations, with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's heart failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And he spake to them a parable. Behold the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth, ye see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise ye, when ye shall see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. And in the daytime he was teaching in the temple, and at night he went out and abode in the mount that is called the Mount of Olives, and all the people came early in the morning to him in the temple for to hear him. May God bless the readings together with that sole purpose of worshiping our Heavenly Father who has done so much for each and every one of us. It fulfills us. It gives unto us a rich fulfillment and a deep level of satisfaction that when we, from our souls, are able to worship our Creator and do so in spirit and in truth. We sang this song this morning and it was moving. Verse number 3 said, His is the power, Almighty is God. This is who we've come this morning to worship, an Almighty God. He ruleth wisely, every morn His goodness it shall be new. And then we sang in verse number 5, Worship the Lord, yea, worship the Lord in awesome reverence. May we forever His holy name exalt. And that's what we've come this morning to do, is to exalt our Lord and to magnify Him. And sitting up front here to hear all the voices, perhaps over 200 people here this morning, worshiping and exalting Him, lifting up our voices together in unison, worshiping our God, worshiping Him. He is so worthy. Truly, we're thankful for opportunities like this as they come to us. Recently, we've heard messages about the crucifixion of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We've also heard recently a message of His resurrection. And now, this morning, we read of His second coming. All these things were written of in the Bible, and we have them for our knowledge and that we would see and know what the Lord has done. And we can see that the crucifixion, events surrounding that crucifixion, were foretold, and they happened just as they were told. We can also see that events surrounding the resurrection were foretold, and they happened as they were told. If we flip back to Matthew, I just want to read those verses here really quickly. Jesus said that they were going to happen, and just as He said they were going to happen, they happened. He said, He told His disciples, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn Him to death. And they shall deliver Him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify Him. And the third day He shall rise again. Jesus told them, this is what is going to happen. He told them very clearly, this specifically, these are the things that are going to happen. And they played out just as He told them it would happen. This morning we read a passage of Scripture of what shall happen, has yet to come. The second coming of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It will happen, just as it was laid out here in the Scripture we read together. There's no difference. In this reading that we read this morning, 30 times the word shall has come up, was written. This will happen. This shall happen. Jesus is telling His disciple and He's telling us, these are the things that will happen. We have to believe that these things are true. The message of the Lord has come through over and over, and we have to believe that this word, as it is written, is true. And this is what we look to, the Word of God. When Jesus was resurrected, the women came to the grave, and the angel told the women, said, Go, tell the disciples to go into Galilee, and there He will meet them. Jesus will meet them there in Galilee. And the angel said, Lo, I have told you. And it happened as such. And we can take this word this morning, and we can think, read it and understand it and meditate upon it in that context that, Lo, we have been told. And it will happen just as it is written here. And so we rejoice in that we have this scripture that will tell us those things that surround the events of Christ's second coming. What we can expect, and how we need to be prepared for that great and notable day. And so we read here in this first verse of our reading, verse number 5, how that some of the people were pointing out to Jesus, as if somehow he missed it, that there were goodly stones and goodly gifts and stones here that were part of the temple. And they held these things in great regard. And it's true in our day today as well, that sometimes we see things around us and they are goodly in the terms of an earthly sense, and we have maybe perhaps undue regard for these things that are viewed as goodly. But truly for the believer, this is the goodly thing that we do, is that in that we're worshiping the Lord and we're speaking of the great things that he has done and will do. And so Jesus says to them, "As for these things which ye behold, the days come in which there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." The Bible says that heaven and earth shall pass away. We read that this morning here, and Jesus said it, and it will come to pass. Heaven and earth shall pass away. All the things that we behold, all the things that we see and that we experience, they will all pass away. That's true of us as people. We will return to dust from whence we came. And that's true of everything that we see and that we experience in this life. It will all be gone. Heaven and earth shall pass away. This temple was destroyed a couple decades later. It was destroyed. And there was not one stone left upon another. And we have to have the perspective of life and go through life that everything we experience in this life one day will vanish. It will be gone. It will be done away with. It will all be destroyed. And when we go through life in such a manner that knowing that everything's going to be destroyed, it's really of temporary value, then that helps us to have that eternal perspective that we are called to have. We are called to have an eternal perspective. We are called to look upon those things which are eternal and not those things which are temporal. And so there are the men here are asking, when shall these things be? And Jesus first responds, as he does in chapter 24 of Matthew. He says, "Take heed that ye be not deceived, for many shall come." Many shall come. It will happen. They shall come in my name, saying, "I am Christ." And so when this comes, we should be in expectation of it. When we see others saying, "I am Christ, I am the Messiah," We should know immediately. The first thought in our mind is, "Oh well, Christ already said that they were going to do that. They were going to say that," and we don't go after them. We know who our Lord is. We know who Jesus is. And so Jesus tells us, "Go ye not therefore after them." He's saying, "When you hear of wars and commotion, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by." There's going to be distress, and this next verse. The next two verses, 10 and 11, speaks of nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be earthquakes in diverse places and famines and pestilence and fearful sights and great signs shall there be in heaven. So we see in these verses here that Jesus Christ is telling us this is what shall happen. This is what is going to take place. Human level, there's going to be wars, there's going to be commotions, there's going to be kingdoms rising against kingdoms and nations at war one with another. That will happen on that level with man. Man will be very destructive and they will have a lot of hate and they will be at war one with another. That's what Jesus is saying. And that's going to happen on this level. And then he's saying on an earthly level, there's going to be earthquakes, there's going to be pestilences, there's going to be famines, there's going to be disruption in the earth. So there's going to be that going on the earthly level. And then he also says here that there shall be fearful sights and great signs from the heavens, and that will be on another level. And Jesus is saying, "These things shall happen. Lo, I have told you." And so we should be in expectation of these things. These are the events that are going to surround the second coming of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Just as those events that happened that surrounded Jesus' crucifixion and his resurrection, these are the events that shall surround the second coming of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Men at war with each other. The earth going through pestilences and famines and earthquakes, and the heavens showing great signs and wonders coming from above. Then Jesus says, but before all these things, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up into synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. So some of these verses here are speaking to what would happen to them immediately in that time, and then some speak to his second coming. He speaks here of the destruction of Jerusalem and what would happen with some of these disciples, and as well as when the second coming of our Lord would be. And so he's saying that in our time, that before all these events are happening on the human level, on the earthly level, and on the heavenly level, that there will be persecution such as never was in before. And he's saying, and it will turn to you for a testimony. It will be an opportunity for us to speak of Jesus Christ and who he is. And just as we've prayed that God would get all the glory and honor in all aspects of our lives, that the attention would never be on us, and that we would simply be a testimony of Jesus Christ and who he is. And so he's saying, settle it therefore in your hearts, not to meditate before what you shall answer. The Lord will give us what we have need of, both in terms of words and in terms of how we are yielding ourselves to the guidance of the Spirit. The Lord will give unto us all of that. But we need to be yielded to the Lord. We need to be yielded to him. We need to allow his Spirit to operate in us at all times, exercising him in our lives, that the fruit of the Spirit then might be made manifest. That though there might be hatred and wars and commotions, we would have love in our heart, because that is a fruit of the Spirit. And that's who Jesus was. And that's who God is. And that we would have joy despite the turmoil that's going on in the world. Men will have fear, but we can have joy because we know with certainty, because we have been told that the coming of our Lord is imminent, and that we will rise and be with him forever in the air as we rise. And so he will give us all things that we have need of. And it says here, and you shall be betrayed by both parents and brethren and kinsfolk and friends. And some of you shall they cause to be put to death. We will be betrayed. We think of that as such a horrible thing, to be betrayed. We know that Jesus was betrayed by Judas. And the great sorrow that comes with that, the great pain and emotional pain and the hurt that comes from being betrayed. And here it speaks of family and friends. Parents, kinsfolks, and brethren. Those would be family, parents, brethren, and kinsfolk, and then also friends. From those who you wouldn't expect that they would betray us. But Jesus says, these things shall happen. It will happen. Lo, I have told you, Jesus says. And so, we need to be in expectation of these things, and that they would not come to us as a surprise. And some of you, not all, not many, but Jesus says, some of you shall they cause to be put to death, to be betrayed by family and friends. That shall come to pass. And it says, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. Ye shall be hated of all. The animosity and the hatred that the world will have for Jesus at this time will be so great that those who profess that they are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, those that profess that Jesus Christ is Lord and that there is no other, those that profess that the only way to get to the Father is through Jesus Christ, our Lord, that the world and will have great animosity, great hatred toward Jesus and toward those of his followers. We will be hated of all men for my name's sake. But another gospel says, But he that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved. Those that continuously, though Satan would throw his temptations and hatred at us, by his grace, we can still walk in the Spirit. And we can still display what he would have us to display in terms of fruit of the Spirit. And having peace in our hearts, knowing that our redemption is drawing nigh and it's getting closer day by day. And he says, there shall not an hair of your head perish. In your patience possess ye your souls. Another fruit of the Spirit, in the patience, in our long-suffering, in our just simply waiting on the Lord and trusting in him, knowing that all things are in his care. Wait on the Lord. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted in the heaven. I will be exalted upon the earth. Jesus, the Lord will be exalted and magnified. And so we are in patience to possess our souls. We are to wait upon the Lord and wait upon him as long as his timing exists. We are to wait upon him. Further down here in the chapter, he says, and there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Again, these things happening upon the earth that have never happened before. When the Bible says here that the waves are going to be roaring, that is going to be on a level that we've never seen before. And when there's perplexities and distress upon the earth, that's going to be at a level that's never been seen before. But Jesus is telling you, these things shall come to pass. There will be signs on all these levels, on the human level, on the earthly level, on the heavenly level. All these events, all these signs will be given unto us that we might know that his coming is soon. Verse number 26 says, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, and for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. You know, the Bible also speaks of men being able to do things that would cause even the very elect to be deceived. But God has a greater power, and with his power he will be shaking the heavens, and there will be fear. There will be fear in those who hated the Lord, who would not have his ways, who would not allow them to be Lord of their lives. And so the Bible says, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. When Jesus comes in great power and great glory, those who would not serve the Lord, there will be a fearful looking to a certain judgment upon them. Their hearts will fail for fear and knowing that their time, the time is short. And then in verse number 27, this is where the glory of the Lord will be shown. It says, And then, Jesus says, shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. That's the joy of the believer. And this is what we are looking forward to. When we see the power, Jesus Christ coming in power and in great glory. We see sometimes something that has a lot of power, an event maybe that has a lot of power, or something that just has a lot of power. When Jesus comes again, the power that is revolved as part of that will be far greater than any other power that has ever been seen before. And when he says great glory, I believe that is an understatement that is on a great level. That when Jesus comes, he will come with great glory. There will be great glory surrounding his coming. And this is when we rejoice. And this is when we receive that the saints would be exalted. He will come. He will come not as a baby to save the world, but he will come in power and in great glory. And the purpose of that is that when the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his own angels, then shall he reward every man according to his works. This is what will transpire when the Lord comes and when his second coming. Every man shall be rewarded according to his works. Today is our opportunity to serve the Lord, to worship him, to do what he would have us to do, to live for him, to have the Spirit indwelling in us and motivating us and directing us in every way that the fruit of the Spirit is manifest in our lives. This is the moment. Because when he comes, every man shall be rewarded according to his works. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations. All people will be gathered before the Lord, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. When Jesus comes, that is the purpose of his coming, is to separate those who would not serve him to those who love them with all of their heart. And he will gather those who love him with all of their hearts, and he will take them up to be with him forever. And the others will be cast into that lake of fire where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is how it shall be when he comes in power and great glory. And when these things shall begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. This is the moment that the saints have been waiting for. And we look up and with great expectation that Jesus Christ is here and he's coming to take us. And this is a joy that will be great. A great joy that can't be compared to any other joy that any other event can give a person who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. When we think that Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us and he will come again and receive us unto himself, and the reason for that is that we might be where he is. This is the joy of the saints. This is the expectations that we have, that when Jesus comes, he would take us, that we might be where he is. That as he reigns in power upon the right hand of God, that he wants us to be a part of that. This is what great joy that we have as believers. Jesus says, "Behold the fig tree and all trees. When they now shoot forth, ye see and know that yourselves that summer is now nigh at hand." Even as we see it today, the leaves are budding out, and we know that summer is coming. And Jesus is saying, now when you see all these things coming to pass, and on all these levels, on the human level, on the earthly level, on the heavenly level, when you see these things come to pass, know that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. You see them, and then you can know. Jesus is saying, behold, see it. Take note of it. And when you see it, then you can know that the kingdom of heaven is nigh at hand. And he's saying that this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. When we think of that heaven and earth, as we know it, as we experience it in our whole lives, that it's all going to be gone. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. But all this that we experience now, it's all going to be gone. But the words of Jesus Christ shall not pass away. Shall not pass away. Lo, I have told you. And so now, these are the events that surround his second coming. And now this is how we ought to be. And so Jesus Christ concludes this, telling us how we ought to be in expectation of his second coming. He says, "Take heed to yourselves, lest at any times your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, so that day come upon you unawares." Surfeiting, consuming in an excess amount. And now that could be food and drink, or that could be consuming of the earthly goods. And again, we in our culture need to be very cautious against that, because we can be swept up in that very, very easily. We are to to let our moderation be known unto all men, because the Lord is at hand. We don't need to be surfeiting and drunkenness. Drunkenness meaning just so wrapped up in this life and not giving any thought to consequences and cares of this life. When we know that heaven and earth shall pass away, all this that we see and we experience, it's all going to be gone. It's all going to perish. Then we can have more of a heavenly focus, and the cares of this life will diminish. We don't want that day to come upon us unawares. In all aspects of our lives, we ought to be living in the Spirit, and even much more so during this time where he's speaking of that day of the Lord would come upon us unawares. He says, "For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell upon the face of the whole earth." As a snare. When we think of a snare, a trap, that how quickly it closes. There's no planning for it. And even when you know it's going to happen, you try to take action quickly, and usually a person fails in their action, because a snare or a trap comes so quickly. And so he says, "For as a snare shall it come upon the whole earth." So he says, "Be therefore ready, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not." The Bible also says, Jesus says, that of that hour and of that day knoweth no man, no, not the angels in heaven, but my Father only. And so only a fool would predict which day the Lord would come again, because Jesus clearly says that no man knows that day. And so as a snare shall it come, but ours is to be ready. Ours is to be walking in the Spirit, living according to his will, and allowing the fruit of the Spirit to come forth of our lives. And so Jesus says here in conclusion, "Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man." Be ready. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. Watch for these signs, and pray always. Pray always. Pray for the strength, because we have an adversary of our soul that wants to destroy us. And we know that this body will perish, but our soul will live on. And so he's saying that we are to watch and pray that we might be able to escape all these things, and that our soul might live on, and that we might be able to stand before the Son of Man. Standing. The Bible tells us that we ought to stand, therefore having the whole armor of God on. We ought to have every piece of the armor of God, truth, righteousness, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, having the sword of the Spirit. All these things we ought to be adorned with as we live out our lives as believers and in waiting for the second coming of our Lord. This is how we ought to stand, clothed in this armor. Revelation says, "Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame." If we're not walking in the armament of the Lord, we are exposed. We are exposed. And we will fail. And we will not be able to stand when the Son of Man comes. There was a group of believers standing around in Bethany when Jesus rose and went up into the sky, into the clouds, and up into heaven. And two men stood by in white apparel, and they said to the people, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing up into heaven? This Lord Jesus, whom ye see going up into heaven, into the clouds, shall come in like manner, and he will come in that power and in that great glory." This is what we are waiting for. And this is what we rejoice in, that Jesus Christ would come again in power and in great glory. In Revelation, we also read that there's a testimony saying that the sayings of God are true. The mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. These things shall come to pass. May God find us faithful. Amen.